Good morning. Good to see everybody today once again on the Lord's Day. And this is where we're supposed to be, with Him in His presence, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So welcome to all of you. Just some announcements here. We do have communion today. You see the elements up here. And I think most everybody here knows. I don't notice anybody that wouldn't, that we have open communion. And we will look forward to that time at the close of our service. You also see the consistory members, our new consistory members, and after joys and concerns, I'll have all the consistory come up here just to be recognized and for a short prayer. If you were not able to stay for the meeting or weren't here last Sunday, there are copies of the annual report out there on the information cabinet in the narthex that you can pick up after the service. If you'd also notice in the insert, there's a schedule regarding the Menno Olivet Easter Cantata, which will be starting practices right away in March, actually just about a month away. Emmanuel Lutheran is the host church this year. You see that Linda Kreneisel will be directing and Kay Schmidt will be the accompanist. So let's have a good number of voices to sing in that cantata. A lot of other announcements. I will let you read those on your own later as you have time. So let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the sun shining through the windows, the different colors of the stained glass. And the colors all have a story to tell, leading up to the cross and your resurrection. And then coming to your return, the story is all there. And we thank you for your word that gives us every detail. Father, we gather here today with hearts wide open to you, thinking of the cross as we will come to the Lord's Supper later in our service, thanking you for what you call us to do, to lay down our lives. And as we do, as we give our lives for you, we truly find life, life in you alone. And we thank you for that, for all that are here, Lord. Fill this place with your glory and your presence. You know what's on our hearts and our minds. You know the needs that might be here this morning present. You know the needs that are very much on our hearts and minds of friends or loved ones that we know. And we thank you for your power that is greater than all. You are the way maker, the miracle worker. You are the light in the darkness. And we come to praise and magnify your name. And so we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together and we'll sing number 499. 499, I will sing the wondrous story. Sing the wondrous story of Christ and all that he's done for us. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Good morning, and good to see everybody on a beautiful Sunday morning. Some joys and concerns, things that I have to go over here. Justin Plooster is going to have carpal tunnel surgery on both hands this Friday. So he's back there somewhere. There you are. So prayers for Justin that all goes well. And Luke's going to be the cook, right? No. Come on. All right. Continued prayers for Lonnie Graber. This is Teresa Newhart's dad. He did get to come back to the care center at Freeman on Thursday and is coming along okay, little by little. Still having pain. He had part of his leg amputated around his knee is what his surgery was. Continued prayers for Scott Plath. That's Kristen Heckenleibel's dad, who is back at home, recovering from his surgery this last week related to some bladder cancer. Also continued prayers for my dad. He's still in the hospital up in Sioux Falls. He lost all the strength in his legs. And so trying to work on that, the therapy they are at the hospital and looking for a placement for him to go for more physical therapy. I had a text this morning from Angie Hall regarding a senior at Scotland High School, Dawson Beats. His parents, Don and Katie? Don and Jackie, sorry. Was in a bad accident last night and was airlifted to, is it McKinnon? So we don't know a lot more details than, All right. So into surgery, he may be in surgery this right now, could be. So we'll leave it at that since the details are probably not fully known. So prayers for him. He was the quarterback of the football team and plays basketball too over there. So, okay. Anything else over here? Emma Lynn. This coming Friday is Bria Heckenleibel's first birthday. All right, happy birthday to Bria. Okay. Okay, over here, Cindy. Yes, Robert Shane Fish's birthday was yesterday, and his wife Abby's birthday is today. Happy birthday to both of them. Yeah, Angie. Okay. Oh, goodness. Sorry to hear that. Can you say her first name? Or Brianna. Angie Hall's first cousin, Brianna, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer this last week. Okay, Brianna. So we will be praying for her and the family there. Okay. Oh, let's see. Deb? Talk loud. Yeah. Okay. This is Jim and Deb Christensen. Their grandson Dylan Hofer, 8 years old, has sarcoma cancer on his arm. Was scheduled for surgery on the 14th of February. That's been pushed back to the 23rd now. That's at Mayo Clinic. So continued prayers for them. All right. Lori Whale had a birthday Thursday. Yes. Happy birthday, Lori. Yeah. Okay, let's bow in prayer. Father, there's much to bring before your throne today, and we lift up Dawson Beats to you as we did in the high school class, and we do now together as a congregation. Father, we don't know the details, but you do, and we pray that if he in fact is in surgery right now, that you are taking hold of those hands of the surgeons and the assistants and the technicians, all that help, and guide them in that. And for the other injuries, whatever they may be, Lord, you know. We just ask for your mercy upon him. We ask for your mighty healing power working through his body in Jesus' name. Be with his parents. Siblings, Lord, the Scotland High School classmates, Menno too, as we're tied so very close together, and all of us who know him, we just thank you for guarding him and holding him in your everlasting arms, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray for Angie's cousin, Brianna, with not news that we never want to hear of stage 4 cancer this last week. Lord, you know where that's at and what lies ahead, and we pray for her and her family and just ask for the leading and guiding of your Spirit through every step of the way that you walk with her. Lord, we want to lift up Justin Plooster here with his surgery scheduled this coming Friday on both wrists, hands there for carpal tunnel. We pray that that goes well and that Luke will cook. Lord, we want to lift up Lonnie Graber to you. Thank you for his surgery and just for continued healing there in his leg, and help that pain to lessen, to be under control, Lord, as you heal all of that part of his leg where the surgery was done. Thank you for Scott Plath, his continued recovery. We continue to pray for Elton Herbolt as he goes forward with the IV antibiotic treatments each day, those infusions. For Palmerville's Lee and Pat, the struggles that they have ongoing, that you watch over them. Thank you for working, Lord, in my dad, in his body, and renewing strength to his legs, and for finding that right spot of placement for the therapy to continued therapy to happen. Lord, with all of this, so much of our prayers are regarding our physical bodies, and we thank you for health care and all that they do, all that are gifted in such incredible ways, whether it's in the hospitals or the clinics or the care centers, the EMTs and first responders across the board. Thank you for the sacrifices they make day in and day out. Give them strength, we pray, Lord Jesus. We pray for the lambing and calving that is going on now, if not current, but soon to start. And thank you for the conditions, certainly are a blessing for that to happen. And we trust you for moisture to come in the right time, because we will certainly need that before planting arrives. But Lord, you know the needs, and we lift them up to you. Father, we pray for our nation as always, and ask and thank you by faith for the moving of your Spirit across this land. Things that are happening that we don't even know about, that are never reported on the news, but that you are doing. We pray for our world situation with the tension over there, Russia and Ukraine. And Lord, we ask for your help in this. We ask for your guidance to the world leaders, to our leader, to the leaders of Russia and Ukraine and China and all involved. And thank you that you are sovereign. You are sovereign over all, and you do hold the whole world in your hands. And we know, Father, that in your time, according to your will and way, you are lining everything up for the last days, the last of the last days. And thank you for where we live. We are so blessed to live here in this part of the world, in the state of South Dakota, and we are grateful, so very grateful for this state. So pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray, and thank you for our troops that serve so faithfully as well, here at home and abroad, and are on high alert, I'm sure. Guard and protect them, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, yes, I need the consistory members, please, if you'd come forward just for a couple minutes here. We had a good annual meeting last Sunday. Thanks for all that stayed. We had a great dinner. Delicious. So let's have one up, Ben, since you're first. The deacons can line up here and the elders over on this side in no certain order, but we'll divide by that. Okay. And Ann does want a picture here, too. You can, yeah, we always try to get a picture. Do you want me out of the way? I'll just step here. Okay, real quick, then I'll give the introductions. Thank you. Okay, so Ken Stepanek, maybe a lot of you know all of these, but in case you don't, Ken, he's the new chairman of the consistory, and I'm going to jump here to Steve Pressler. He's the vice chair of the consistory. Tim Fryer, elder. Shirley Mettler, elder and co-treasurer. Ron Schaefer, serving as an elder. And then the deacons here, Mark Anderson and Tyler Miller, Ben Crick, Steve Huber, and Daniel Schaefer. So these are your consistory members. Let's give them a hand, please. And let me have a prayer. And Father, we do thank you for each one of these standing here before you, for their willingness to serve you in this way. Thank you for guiding all of us, Lord, as we make decisions in the life of this local church. It is a big responsibility. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Jesus, the head of the church. Help us always to honor you and exalt you in all that we do. Bless these men and women here, woman standing up here, with wisdom and insight. By your Spirit, bless their families, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now I want to read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. It says this, those who obey his commands live in him. We live in him, and he in them, or in us. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Holy Spirit he gave us. That's how we know, the Holy Spirit of God. So let's stand and we'll sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we truly are so privileged to live in this age, this era after the cross, where you, Father, by your Spirit, lives within us. Not just with us, but in us. It is truly incredible. And that we live in you, Jesus. As the book of Acts says, for it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Thank you for the strength you give to us each and every day. Thank you for the jobs that you have provided for us, whatever they might be. And the strength and the physical health that you give us to go to work every single day. It's truly a blessing. Forgive us for times when we grumble and grump about it, if we would stop and think what the other alternative could be. It's not well. And so we bring our offerings to you, Lord, with joy and thanksgiving and praise, according to your word, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
I'm going to show you. I know. I'm on to suitcases these last few times. Well, this is just the second time, but because I'm going to talk to you about going on a journey. So this is, what season are we in? Like winter, right? We're in winter. What are some fun things that you can do in winter that you have to kind of prepare for and go out? What can you do in winter that you can't do in other times? Skiing. Just playing in the snow. Go what?
Swimming.
No. You can't go swimming. No, what can you do in winter? Like sledding, right? Yes. Ice fishing?
Tubing.
Ice fishing.
Snowman.
Building a snowman. What? Snowmobile, that would be really fun.
Snowball fight?
Okay, all of these fun things. So when you do that, you know, like if you're saying, I'm going to go skiing or tubing today. Well, you have to plan, don't you? You're kind of like going on a journey. So when you're doing those things, I would think we would need some things, right? We have to make sure that we have what? Our snow pants, right? You can't go out and do those fun things without snow pants. So we got the snow pants. Then you also need what? The coat to go over the snow pants, right? Can't just have the snow pants. You got to have the warm coat. What else do we need? Okay, we'll get to the hat. But what do I have here? We need boots, right? We have to have big snow boots to keep our feet warm. And you said it. A hat. You can have all those things, but to go on this journey, you've got to have a hat. It's vital. What else? Gloves. You got it. These are all vital things that you need if you're going to go on a snow trip, right? But what else are you going to bring when you go somewhere and go for a long time? We have to have food, right? We need our food. Don't you need your snacks? Like if you're going to go all day? Yeah, we got to have. These are essential for this journey that we're going on. And all of these things are essential. Well, do you know what, boys and girls? Our life is kind of like a journey. We're all on a journey. And there's a very important thing today we're going to have. It's called communion. And in our life, we need to remember what communion's about. So look behind you. What do you see? You see some plates, some silver looking with a cross on it. What's in there? The bread, right? And what does the bread represent in communion? Jesus' body. Jesus' body that was broken for us. And just remembering Jesus and all he did for us and who he was. What's in the other, the brown ones? That's the wine or the juice, right? What does that represent? His blood that was shed for us because he died on the cross and he took our sins, right? These are vital. These things are vital in our lives and in our journeys. And what does it say underneath that? Read it with me. Do this in remembrance of me. See, boys and girls, communion is a time, a special time, that we take the bread and the wine or the juice, and it reminds us of Jesus and all he did for us. And Jesus, when he was on the earth, he did this with his disciples. He had the Lord's Supper. And then in Corinthians, Paul tells us again in chapter 11, he said, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. And then he said, do this in remembrance of me. And then he did the same thing when he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it. Again, why? To remember Jesus and all he did. So we are like on a journey. Some of us are in preschool, some of us are in school, some of us are in middle school. We're on a journey, and we need to remember Jesus every single day, and especially when we have communion, especially what he did for us. So this is a time, even though you're all young and you aren't going to really take this today, but you are watching it, and you're seeing, and you can be praying too. Jesus says in the Bible that he is the bread of life. He is all we need, right? Let's remember that, okay, when we're on our journey. Remember Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this day and all these beautiful children here, Lord. We just thank you for helping us all to remember you, remember everything you did for us. Remember that you live inside of us, and remember that you want us to love others and to share your word. Bless these kids wherever they go. Help them to shine your light through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Go ahead. Thank you, Anne. Got quite a pile there. We will be reading from Matthew chapter 15 here in just a moment. As soon as the kids go back to their seats. She wants to stay and help with the sermon, I think. Matthew 15:21. Let's bow our heads, please, before we read the text. Father, again, thank you for your word. It is our very life. You speak to us through your word and by your spirit, and we are so grateful for it. As we look into it at home throughout the week, as we gather together corporately and look into it together here today, I ask always, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, that as Paul said himself, that he would not, and I pray the same, that I would not speak with enticing words of men's wisdom, but that my speech could be by the demonstration and the power of the Spirit of God. That is my prayer, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Amen. So this passage, this woman, a Syrophoenician woman, one, I think it's Mark's gospel that refers to as a Greek woman from this area of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, she was a Gentile woman. She had a great need, a big need with her daughter. And he and Jesus ministers to her. So I chose this text thinking, because we are having communion here, and that the Lord's table, Jesus invites us to come to him, to receive all that he has for us, all that he has done for us through the cross. We come first to worship him, we should, as our King. He is our King. We come with our needs, whatever they might be, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is. And so that's who we find in this Canaanite woman as she's coming to Jesus here. So let's go through this as we talk about it. This is about a year before the cross, just so you know the timing of it. About a year before he goes to be crucified. So number one, these points are all very simple. Jesus knows your every need. He knows your every need. Sometimes we know that, but we can tend to forget about it or think maybe he's not hearing us when our prayers aren't getting answered. Verse 21, there it says, leaving that place. So that place was Galilee, all right, which is northern Israel. That's where he's been ministering much of his time. We were there. We were right here where this was all happening. It's a beautiful part of Israel. They get more rain up there. It's green and more lush. You see streams flowing. Leaving that place of Galilee, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So, what's that? That he's leaving Israel is what is happening. If you'd even if you had look on your map, you'd see it. He's leaving Israel, and today the region of Tyre and Sidon would be going into Lebanon. We hear a lot about Beirut, Lebanon, right? Different times in the news. That's where he's going, up out of Israel into Lebanon. And why? In Mark's gospel, listen to this, Mark 7, verse 24, it gives the same account, but a couple more details. It says, Jesus left that place, Galilee, went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence a secret. That's why he's going. This will be the second reason why we'll get to in a second. But so he goes to Lebanon. One commentary I found, it says it was probably from the northern part of Galilee. It would have been a 50-mile journey. And he was with his disciples going through mountain passages, a rugged journey to get up there. So there he goes. All right. Why? Why? If you're doing your blanks, number one, he was led by the Holy Spirit. That's the main reason, of course. He's God. He is God, and he was led perfectly by the Holy Spirit, in perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He knew in his deity, his God side, about this woman that was going to come to him. He knew that. But second reason, he's fully God, fully man, right? He got tired in his physical body just like we do. He got thirsty. He was hungry. He had dealt with emotions as we deal with. He needed a break. We get that from that's your second one. He needed a break from the crowds. That's what we get in Mark's gospel. Went into this house, did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence a secret. They knew he was there. They knew it. So there he goes. Second, all right, Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Again, we should all know that. I hope we do. Jesus is Lord and Messiah, but I want to show you something here. Verse 22, it says, so this Canaanite woman from that vicinity, means she was not Jewish, she was Gentile, came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Now, in our culture here where we live, I'd be surprised, I guess. I don't think any of you have ever told me anyway if you ever had to deal with someone who was demon possessed. I have my story from our time with the Navajos on that. I don't have time to go into it today. A lot of you have heard it more than once. It is not pleasant. It is not pleasant at all. But in Jesus' name, there is power over all of that. It's horrible what the evil spirits would do to a person. They overtake. And that's what this mother is facing with her daughter. She needs help. She's a Canaanite woman. The Canaanites, they were the original inhabitants of the promised land before God brought the children of Israel in there. Okay? They were vile. They were idolatrous and sinful people. I mean, they had all kinds of false gods and false idols, and it was a terrible time. And this woman, very likely, trying to get help from all those false religions, had done everything she knew to do and everything they told her to do to get help for her daughter, and nothing worked. These people up here in Tyre and Sidon, they had heard about Jesus. That's how faith comes, right? Faith comes from God's word. To any of us today, we hear about him, his miracles, what he's done. All the way back in Matthew chapter 4, listen to a couple verses. Matthew 4, you're just getting into the early months of Jesus' ministry. It says that news spread about Jesus all over Syria. You got Lebanon, you got Syria. They're both right up there above Israel. And people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering with severe pain, the demon-possessed, there we go, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them all. So she knew about this from probably a year or so before, and now there he is back. And her faith is strong, all right? She comes to him, she cries out, Lord, Son of David. Now, this is important. She comes to him with two titles, Lord, Son of David. Two different things. She's heard about him. Lord means sovereign deity. When she's saying Lord, she's saying a very important statement coming from a Gentile woman. I believe you are sovereign, the sovereign God. Think of that. Think of what he had to deal with amongst the religious leaders in Israel, the Pharisees and scribes, who should have known who he was, who are telling him, Oh, you're casting out demons because you are of the devil's power, or you're a drunkard, or you eat with the sinners, or you're no good, you're blaspheming God. That was their response to him. And here's this Gentile woman, you are the sovereign God. And she adds to it, Son of David, the promised Messiah, Savior. You are the Messiah. She believes that. That, if you're getting your blanks, let me tell, she's using what we would call covenant language. When she's saying, Son of David, well, there's a point to all of this, what I'm getting at. So stay with me. Even though she was not a part of the covenant of God, because that belonged at this time and through the Old Testament to the people of Israel. They were God's covenant people then. And she knows that, but she's still using that language. You are the Messiah, Son of David, King David. It was prophesied the Messiah would be ascendant of his throne and he would sit and rule on that throne forever. And he does, Jesus. So she's saying that. All right, third, faith must be persistent. It has to be. Your faith has to be persistent. And hers was. Got to press through what we would call barriers at times. We don't get, let me say, seldom do we get instant answers to our prayers, right? Sometimes we do, and it's like, woo! A lot of times, there's time involved. Don't give up. Verse 23. This is what she says to him. Have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. And verse 23 says, Jesus did not answer her a word. In other words, sort of ignores her. And his disciples come to him and say, urge him, Lord, would you send her away? She keeps crying out after us. Another translation says, she is shouting after us. In other words, this is not a quiet scene. She is making some noise. And everybody knows she's there. And I'm sure she has her daughter with us. She's making noise. But you know what? She believed who Jesus was. She believed that. Did Jesus care about her? Of course he did. Was he trying to be rude? No. Again, does he immediately answer all our requests? No. But he hears them. He hears your every prayer, and he is at work always. You know, a lot of the requests that came to Jesus were what we would call shallow requests. In other words, people coming to him, Jesus, I just want you for what you can do for me. I don't want you for who you are to worship you. I just want you for what you can do. That's being shallow, right? Think of a marriage. If a spouse only wants the other one for what they can do and not who they are, that's not very good, is it? No. So in verse 24 then, he says, when the disciples say to him, Lord, would you send her away? And he answers, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he's speaking covenant language. Back. Remember earlier I said she is. Son of David. That's covenant language, okay? He's speaking covenant language. You know, hard to know exactly why. One reason, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Part of it, you got to realize, you know, his disciples, they were living this out day by day, just like we live out our lives, right? We don't know what tomorrow holds or the next day. That's how they were living. They were not understanding much of his plans of what he was doing. What, we're going up to Tyre and Sidon? Lord, why are we going there? That's Gentile land. You are in covenant with the people of Israel. You are our Messiah. That was their understanding. So part of it, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I think he was trying to reassure the 12 that were with him of, look, I've not forgotten the mission. We're still on track. But you know what the ultimate mission is? His ultimate mission has always been for the world, right? It has always been. It's just that through the Jewish race of people was the channel that God used for him to be born into that race of people to reach the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the what? For God so loved the what? That's a little better. Thank you. Okay, so he's going. Let's talk about covenant language. All right. Was healing a part of God's covenant in the Old Testament? Yes, it was. You see it through and through. In Exodus 15, I have that verse there. That's where the children of Israel, they were out in the wilderness, and he reveals himself to them, I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha in the Hebrew. I am the Lord, your healer. He revealed that to him. Verse 25, okay, this woman, a lot of people by now would have been getting offended at him. This is supposed to be the Messiah. He is ignoring me. And then says that. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She knew she was not a part of that. She knew she was Gentile. Huh? Don't get offended. Bad stuff. Verse 25. No, she's persisting. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, please help me, she said. New King James says she fell down and worshiped him. See, she's got humility here. A heart of worship. She doesn't argue with him. She's not demanding from him. She's falling before him. Lord, please help me. Notice she drops a title. First time, Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on me. And then she tells him his need. This time, okay. It's almost like, okay, Lord, all right, I get it. I know the covenant you have with the people of Israel right now. So let's just drop that out of here. Lord, I believe you are sovereign God. I know that. And I know you have the power to set my daughter free. Sort of cool, isn't it? She dropped that title, Son of David. Verse 26. He goes on, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Can you imagine that? Children's bread is still, he's still talking in the covenant that he has with Israel. What if somebody said that to you, if you came to them, a minister, and you asked for healing and they didn't think you quite measured up? That'd be sort of tough, wouldn't it? Tough to take. It's not right to take the children's bread to their dogs. In Greek, this is referring to a little pet dog, okay? So it's at least there's two words in the Greek for dog. You got the little pet dogs, family pets, and then you got the mangy mutts that are scoundrels and whatever. So there, that's the picture that he's saying. I want you to get this about the children's bread because this is what ties in with the Lord's Supper. The children's bread. Jesus calls himself the bread of right. In John chapter 6, several times in there, he's saying to those religious leaders, I am the bread of life who has come down from heaven. And they're getting so mad that he would even say that about himself. The bread of life, number one. Oops. Well, who was somebody? You missed it there in the sound booth. I almost fell up the steps like you always tell me one day is going to happen. Sorry, he wasn't watching. Gotta tease you. He's speaking of our salvation, number one, when he says, I am the bread of life. In John 6:58, he who feeds on this bread will live forever. That's our salvation, okay? Number one, in order to come to this table, we have got to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If a person ever wanted to take communion or was going to take communion in an unworthy way, number one would be taking it without knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. But secondly, he's speaking about other needs that we have. What was the need of this woman? healing for her demon-possessed child, her daughter. That was her need, wasn't it? So it goes on beyond salvation. I am the bread of life. It goes to ministering to physical needs. I read about healing of demon possession, paralysis, blind, deaf, anything, paralyzed, all of those things. She was coming for deliverance for her daughter. And she answers him right back. She's not given up on this deal. Yes, Lord. There it is again. Yes, sovereign God, you who can do anything, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. That, I have lots of favorite verses, but that is one of them, because she knew she was outside the covenant at that time. She knew she had no status in life to even approach him. She knew, as far as in the status of culture at that time, she was about on the bottom of the bottom. But she said, all I need, Lord, is just a crumb of your power for my little girl. And that's what I'm asking you for. And that is true. It is so true. And we are in covenant with him. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you are part of the covenant people. We are all Gentile people here. But it's for all who will believe. His covenant is. So it's so beautiful. And what does he say? He says, "Woman, you have great faith." He was impressed. "Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Totally set free. What a beautiful thing, because she didn't give up. She didn't get offended because he didn't answer her or treat her like she thought he probably should have. No, she knew who he was, and she knew, "I just need just a little touch of your power." As we come to the table today, first of all, yes, we come to worship Jesus. It is all about him. It is only about him. The bread speaking of his body, the wine and juice speaking of his blood that he shed for us on that cross. When we worship him through this time, I say this periodically, I'll say it again, that when this is all happening, the elements are being distributed. I realize the little ones, you know, they're not all understanding, but whatever, middle school and up, certainly. There should be no talking. If you're not singing along, and you can talk to God, yeah, but no need to talk to one another. Our focus is on Christ alone and that cross and what he did for us. Beyond that, then, yeah, as you're partaking of those elements, lift up, if you have a need, a physical need in your body, just say, "Lord, I thank you. You are the bread of life. And for the healing you gave to that woman, what we just read about, I receive your power into my physical body of healing," or maybe it's an emotional need. There's lots of needs, big needs always. Maybe you want to lift up Dawson during that time before the Lord and ask for God's touch in his body. Whatever's on your heart, but take time first to worship him. We hunger, we thirst for him as we drink of the water of life, as we partake of the bread of life. Let's pray. Father, such great faith exhibited by this woman. I'm impressed. You were certainly impressed. Lord, let our faith be strong. We humble ourselves as we come to this table today and think of all that it entails. We worship you as we partake of these elements. Thank you for moving throughout this sanctuary and beyond, as we partake of these elements by faith, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, the consistory, go to the back of the sanctuary, please, to prepare. We know we are told in Scripture in 1 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. I spoke a little about that already. Number one is Jesus, my Lord and Savior. We need to know that. We should know it. We can know that. If you're not sure, then call out to Him to come into your heart. Secondly, it's confessing our sin, to Him and asking for His forgiveness. There is a prayer of confession that we will have on the screen here that we will pray together. Okay, please join me. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before You and under Your mighty hand as we examine ourselves in the light of Your Word. We realize that we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. As we confess our sins before You, we ask for Your forgiveness. We thank You for forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Lord God, we do hunger and thirst for more of You and Your righteousness in our lives. As we come by faith to the table that You have prepared for us, we ask that You would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit and bring spiritual refreshing and nourishment to each of our lives. Thank You for being our Savior and Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. If you'd come, please. Again, if you're visiting with us today, we do have open communion. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome and invited to take communion with us today. We encourage the youth to wait until they've been confirmed for them, for their communion. Let's pray once more. Heavenly Father, thank You for these elements prepared. These elements, holy signs and seals for us to see, so that by our use of them, we might more understand more fully the promises of the gospel. This bread representing Your body, bruised and beaten for us beyond what we could ever even imagine. This wine and this juice representing the blood that You shed upon that cross and even before leading up to it. Let these elements be sanctified, Lord, I pray, for this time and this purpose as we partake of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can distribute the elements if you'd hold them, and we'll partake of them together. If you'd like to sing along, we'll sing number 505, He Touched Me. If you want to just listen, pray, please do that as well. The Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your incredible plan of redemption from ever before the foundation of the world. Because your love for us is so incredible. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Thank you for drawing us near to yourself and loving us, and help us to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The innermost ring of each tray has grape juice. The other rings contain the wine. Okay. We'll sing number 488, "Just As I Am." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed for our salvation. As we sing, there is power, there is wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's amazing to think that as we come to you, that our sins can be washed away and we are made as white as snow. Thank you for clothing us in the robe of righteousness, that you see us in Christ as the righteousness of God in Christ. And we are so grateful for that. Help us to live for you. Lord, you hear the prayers being lifted up here this morning, every one of them. Thank you for ministering to each need here and beyond by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Consistory, for helping. You can go back to your seats. Amen. Our closing hymn is really more of an Easter hymn. I live because he is risen. So let's stand and we'll sing this today with great joy. So it is. Please receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that your joy may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we will sing as a prayer for our nation. God bless America.
From the mountains to the grave.
is our prayer. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. Have a wonderful day.